Tommy 29. I am so proud of the way that you fight, the way that you hang in there when adversity hits. That's important now. Because when we do what we try to do all the time, we're pretty damn good, okay? I'll see you back on Monday, okay? Yes. All right? All right, Chad, break them down.
Yeah. Here we go, baby. Flex 03, 1, 2, 3, fight!
Welcome in. It's another edition of Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw from the Vikings Entertainment Network, here with you for a half an hour to highlight some of the best content the Vikings Entertainment Network produced over the last week. You just heard the sounds from a winning locker room. The Vikings are on a two-game winning streak, and they're on a bye this week, but there's no rest for the weary. We have a jam-packed show. Let's get right to it. First up, rookie defensive tackle Shamar Stephan. I had a chat with him earlier in the week. Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios and coming to you after a big Vikings victory. The Vikings defeat the Washington Redskins. They have a two-game winning streak going, and a big part of the Vikings' success and certainly a big part of their four wins on the season has been the play of their defense, which is designed and run by head coach Mike Zimmer and defensive coordinator George Edwards, but is being executed by the players and is being executed very well. One of the players executing very well is our guest today on the Wobcats Wobcast. It's defensive tackle Shamar Stephan. Welcome, Shamar.
Thank you.
How you doing, man?
Good, I'm good.
You feeling pretty good 9 games through your rookie season?
Yeah, it feels pretty good.
Okay. The Vikings draft you in the 7th round this past May. And you, 7th-round pick, you don't know what to expect. A lot of 7th-round picks don't make it, but you've done more than just made it. I mean, you're in the rotation. You're playing every game. You're playing a bunch of snaps, and you're a big part of why we've been able to defend the run and rush the passer the way we have. So what's it been like your first 9 games?
It's been a real good experience. I'm just trying to learn as much as possible and trying to be pretty active role in the position I am and trying to come in so there's no one beat off or anything, just trying to come in and play my role.
Yeah, so you want to come in, step in, because you're not a starter, you're one of the guys in the rotation. When you come in, you want to make sure there's not a big drop off between you and whoever you're replacing.
I want to play just as good as, or try to play better than the person that's in front of me and try to create havoc, push back, and have pressure back there.
You're listed as a defensive tackle, but it's not that simple. I mean, in different schemes, there's different names for positions, depending on if it's a 3-4 or 4-3. There's the 5 technique, the 3 technique, the nose tackle, the under tackle. How would you describe your role? What are you called in our defense, and what's your role on any given play?
My role, I roll in for both 3 and nose, so okay. I play both positions. So my role is just to play that position to the best of my ability and try to make plays off that.
You went to college and played football at UConn. Is what you're doing here for us similar to what the coaches asked you to do at UConn, or have you been asked to learn something new?
It's a little bit different in technique, but I've played both 3, the 1, 4-eye, 5, so
okay.
Just trying to play those techniques made me a little versatile so I could play different positions.
It's probably a good thing to be versatile in this defense because Mike Zimmer is a guy that likes to do a lot of different things defensively. I mean, you know, he likes to pride himself, I would imagine, on just being a tough, gritty defense where every guy is doing their job. But, each player is asked to do a lot of different things in a given game, right?
Yes, sir. Just do your job, really. Just play your technique and try to play within the scheme and then make plays off what you do in the scheme.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Long Island, New York.
Okay, so you grew up in Long Island, New York. You played football in high school. I would imagine you were a two-way player of some kind.
Yeah.
What'd you play in high school?
Played a bunch of positions, tight end to offensive line, went from DN to D-tackle all through it, so I play a different position.
What are you listed at with us? You're probably 6'5"?
6'5", about 300, 305.
Were you the biggest guy in your high school team?
Yeah,
definitely.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Why didn't they put you at running back? You would have been like Matt Asiata. You'd have scored about 3 touchdowns every game, I would think.
I mean, I wish they put me at running back. I played fullback a couple times, but...
Right. So, did you have a good team in high school?
We were pretty good. We were all right, yeah.
Okay, what led you to go to UConn?
It was a real good upcoming program. I mean, I liked the style of play. Coach Edsel recruited me, and he liked me, and it was a great, great university. I mean, great academics, great football, and it was close. It was pretty relatively close to home, so I thought it was a great pick for me.
In the pre-draft process, what events did you go to? Were you Senior Bowl guy, East-West game, combine? What were some of the things you went through?
Senior Bowl and the combine.
Okay, what did you think of all that?
It was a great experience. I mean, loved it. Loved trying to just prove myself against the other guys in the nation and going out there and competing. So it was a great experience for me.
I think the Senior Bowl is one of the better pre-draft events that there is. The Combine gets a lot of attention because it's on TV and it's really become a huge event on the calendar. But I go to the Senior Bowl every year, and that to me is the best pre-draft event because you guys are actually playing football.
Yeah, we're playing. It's all around. You have to learn the scheme that they give you. You have to perform in that scheme, and you get to do a lot of one-on-ones and play against each other. So it shows what you could put to the table and shows your ability.
Yeah. You're playing here with Linval Joseph, a free agent signing of ours. You're playing here with Tom Johnson, another free agent signing. We re-signed Everson Griffin. So really, you know, there's a lot of change on our defensive line because Jared Allen is gone and Kevin Williams is gone. You're part of the rebuilding process. We're number one in the NFL in sacks with 30 on the season. So obviously the rebuilding process has gone really well. But what's it been like to be a part of that? What do you guys talk about in the meeting rooms or when you're sitting around with your fellow defensive linemen? What kind of are you guys talking about? What's working well for you this season?
I think playing with each other, trying to rush off each other, trying to play the run off each other and try to do our job is really what's working for us. I mean, we're playing a great scheme and it's been working for us so far. So, I mean, it's been a great experience working with these guys and trying to keep going after it.
Kind of seems like this coaching staff is kind of, they like to work from the ground up. So, and what I mean by that is you guys aren't focusing on, hey, let's go out there today and get 5 sacks. That's the end goal. But you start with, hey, let's go out there and every one of us do our jobs and play off of each other. Is that a fair way to characterize
it? Yeah, I would say that because I think end of the day that when we go out and try to play our scheme and play our scheme to the best of our ability, it's going to work out for us. If we try to do our own thing, then something else, you know.
We have 2 defensive line coaches here. You have Andre Patterson, who was a Vikings coach before, and then now he's come back and he's been coaching for a long time. You have Rob Akey, who's the assistant defensive line coach. He's been a head coach at the college level. So these guys have been around football for a long time. As a young player, you've been playing football for a long time, but this is your first year at the NFL level. As a young, impressionable player, do you feel like those guys are doing a really nice job of working with the D-line?
They're doing a great job. I mean, they want us to play to our best every day, and they put us in the right position every week, just game planning and helping us look at film and doing all the little things that help us improve as a D-line. So they do a great job with us.
You're part of a pretty good rookie class that we got going on. Teddy Bridgewater, Jerick McKinnon, yourself. Even like Jabari Price is playing a little bit. I mean, you guys have given us a little bit of a boost. Kind of fun to be a part of a successful draft class for a team.
It definitely feels good. I mean, everyone here is willing to work and put in the hours. So, I mean, I know us rookies really, really put in the work during OTAs, and the whole team's put in the work this whole offseason just to be better and just to improve from last season. So, we have a great rookie class and a great team.
You seem like a pretty even-keeled guy. Do you talk much or yell much on the field, or are you kind of just flatlined?
I'm more of a, like, I just try to get into, like, my own little zone and just try to play within my zone and keep going after each play.
Seems to be working so far, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right, so now we have our bye week. So, we play 9 games and get a rest here. What do you think you do during the bye week as an NFL player? It's your first time going through it, but what are you going to do?
I'm still going to keep working, but I just want to take it down a notch, just try to get rid of the bumps and bruises and try to recover my body.
We're going to come out of the bye and play the Bears. You haven't played the Bears yet, so you're not that familiar with them. You're going to have to watch them on film. But right after the Bears, we play the Packers, so that's a rematch. And the Packers ran the ball on us a little bit. Now, we've been very good against the run since then. The last team, though, to run the ball pretty well on us was Green Bay. You think we've made some adjustments and we can bow up a little bit against them?
I mean, as long as we play within the scheme, I don't think there really is a problem. I mean, we just got to do our job and do what we have in front of us. I mean, play within what Coach Zimmer wants us to do and Coach Dre Patterson wants us to do, and we'll be fine.
All right, man. Well, it's awesome to have you on the team. Great start so far in the season, and good luck going forward, all right?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
It's time to take a break, but please stay with us because we have more show to go. You're going to hear from KFAN's Chris Hockey, who was a guest on Vikings Connected, and you're going to hear about the child that received the Vikings game ball from head coach Mike Zimmer. That and much more coming up next. Don't leave.
Two receivers left and right. Play clock at two. Bridgewater shotgun on third down. Straight drop. Looks left. Pumps for Chase Ford. Touchdown! Chase Ford's first National Football League touchdown puts the Vikings on the board. Deep in the first half, it's 10-6 Washington. Play action, straight drop, floats out to the left. Here comes Robinson, and he sacks him at the 40. Sacks on three consecutive plays by the Minnesota Vikings, and a loss of four. They have four today and 32 on the season.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Mike Wobschall. It's Everything Purple. We roll on. The excitement is building for the new Vikings Stadium in 2016. It's a new home for your Minnesota Vikings, a new beginning and new opportunities for you, the fans. Start your Vikings legacy today by visiting VikingsLegacy.com. Many of you listening tonight may be familiar with Chris Hockey. He's one of the hosts on the widely successful Power Trip Morning Show on KFAN. He was a guest on one of our TV shows, Vikings Connected. Take a listen.
All right, Mr. Chris Hockey, thanks for being on the show with us this week, and I love your masquerade mask.
Thank you very much. You guys look spectacular. I'm just honored to be on. I watched you with Andrew Zimmer, and he's great, so I feel honored to be in such company.
Oh, yeah, he was fantastic.
He was.
And you're going to be just as good.
Yes.
I hope so. It's a lot to live up to, but I got my best mask, and I'm ready to go.
Okay, so on Tuesday night, the Vikings are having the Taste of the Vikings, which is just a kind of an offshoot from the Taste of the NFL. And you and your band, the Chris Hockey Band, will be performing. What can you tell us about that night?
Well, I'm looking forward to it because my wife's obviously very heavily involved in all the things with the Taste of the NFL. So she filled me in quite a bit on the events of that night and who it helps. You know, any small way that I can come in and help raise money to feed people, I'll absolutely do it. The one thing that I'm okay at is singing and entertaining people. So I thought, there, how can I help it anyway? They asked me to bring the band in. I got a great band. It's a great event. There'll be all kinds of people like yourselves there, and a great opportunity to come in, eat some great food, have a great night with some people, mix with people you want to hang around with like yourselves, and hopefully hear some good music and raise some money.
Now, Chris, you're also part of the Vikings family as a producer for Vikings Radio Network, and you travel a lot with the team. So can you give us a little, for the fans out there that aren't traveling with the team, a little inside scoop on what it's like going on the road with them?
I can't believe that I get to do it. I legitimately can't. Ben, you know what I'm talking about when I say when you land in a new city and you're walking off the plane onto the tarmac to get on a bus to go to the team hotel. And I go back, I've been doing it for some time now, to doing that with Ben, to doing it with, I'll never forget being on the plane with Brett Favre on the first road trip with Brett Favre as the new quarterback. You get a different perspective on how bad it hurts to play in the NFL, both mentally and physically, and also how tight a group an actual team is. It really is something I can't believe I get to do.
So you also travel a lot as an entertainer and are touring with your band. How is that compared to the football side of things? Is there any sort of correlation, or is it two separate lives?
Well, let me look around and make sure there's nobody else in my kitchen here, because I'll tell you a secret. Okay. I'm the luckiest guy you're going to meet. I really am. I started singing in cover bands when I was 15 years old. My mom actually called a newspaper ad and said, "My son won't quit singing. Would you please let him come sing in your garage?" Essentially is what she did. And so that's what I did. And since then, I'm 43 years old now. Even when I went to broadcasting school for radio, as I traveled around the country and met my wife and kept on moving, I kept singing in bands. 6 years ago or so now, I joined this little band called Rocket Club. It was a group of guys that were just fantastic musicians. And suddenly we were a country band. And then suddenly we were on the Billboard country charts. And I'm looking around going, I wanted this when I was 23 years old, and it's happening when I'm 40 years old. There's something about getting on stage and playing your own music and having people react to that that is unbelievable.
Well, you told me, we had a conversation the other day, another very cool experience that you got this last weekend in New York City to add to your resume as entertainer. you got to narrate a Broadway play with some real famous actors. What was that like?
So, okay, let me set the scene for you. So I've been involved with this charity for more than 10 years now. It's called the Tuberous Sclerosis Alliance. It's this this terrible genetic disorder where children and adults develop tubers, not tumors, but non-cancerous tubers on their vital organs, whether it be their heart, their brain, their liver, their kidneys. It's one of those diseases where there's no good way to say this, and I apologize, but nobody famous has ever had it. So you don't know the disease, but it's very, very prevalent, right? So we always try to find different ways to raise awareness. For the 40th anniversary, they decided to have a real playwright write a real play, and it turned out awesome. So they said, well, this is great. Let's do it on Broadway. So people pull strings, and suddenly, here I find myself last Thursday night at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Times Square on Broadway in the basement of the Hudson Theater, a real honest-to-goodness Broadway theater, and I'm looking around. I have never been so nervous. I was literally shaking to the point where you could see my hands shaking, and I had to remind myself that I know how to read, because that's all I had to do was sit here and read the script, right? And so I had to talk myself down. Then showtime comes around at 8 o'clock, and the curtain falls, and I was part of a production of a play on Broadway. Raised great awareness, raised a bunch of money that night to fight tuberous sclerosis, and now it looks like we're going to travel around the country and do that in different cities like Minneapolis, St. Paul.
That is fantastic, man. Thank you. I applaud you and all your efforts. Yeah. Philanthropically and with the Vikings, supporting them, and your singing career as well. So thanks for joining us on our show today.
Thank you very much, and I'll see you next Tuesday night, right? And you'll wear those outfits, right?
Absolutely.
Every day.
Fantastic. I appreciate it very much.
Always fun to hear from Chris Hockey. A great music career for him, and really a great member of the Vikings family. Now, another great story. You may remember Mike Zimmer giving a game ball to a young child who's struggling with an illness. Well, that story was profiled on one of our successful TV shows, Vikings Beyond the Gridiron. It's an Emmy Award-winning show, and this story was one of the best they've done in a while.
There were many key pieces in the Vikings' overtime win Sunday in Tampa Bay. The defense shutting down the Bucs to just 225 yards of offense. Blair Walsh's field goal to send it to overtime. Or rookie Anthony Barr's forced fumble and recovery for a touchdown to win the game. But an 8-year-old watching the game 1,500 miles away.
Coach Zimmer, he had a funny message about our bad luck running out, so we should have some good luck coming. I think that was some of our good luck right there.
Alex Lehlein is an inspiration to everyone he touches, and there's no doubt he left a lasting impact with the Minnesota Vikings.
Alex is actually registered with Hope Kids, and they have different events and things that the kids get to go do. And Alex was invited to go to the Vikings practice for one of the events, so I thought that it would be really fun for him to go do that since he likes to watch the games.
After visiting with his favorite football team and meeting the players and coaches, Alex and his mom did what any young kid should do.
Got a nice little card from Alex, who was out here last week. He said, "Dear Mr. Zimmer, thanks for letting me watch your practice last Saturday. It was fun. The players were nice to me and signed my Viking helmet. My grandpa said to expect good luck for you because you have used up all your bad luck already." So I appreciate Alex.
We talk about, man, they had some bad luck here with that game and with the prior events that they've gone through this year. And so I said, they got bad luck of course, Alex had considerable bad luck so far, and we say you can overcome this. And so we try to make a simple connection.
With heartbreak losses and injury setbacks, Joe knew the Vikings' bad luck had to end in 2014. And with his grandson's help, Alex made sure Coach Zimmer and the team knew the times were changing. A little luck and a change of fortune is what Alex is hoping for as well.
He has Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and it's a rare genetic disease. It deteriorates all the muscles progressively. It affects the heart and the lungs. So eventually he'll lose his ability to do pretty much everything. The lifespan's about 25 years. But we're still hoping that they will find the cure, and they have a lot of things that are in the pipelines right now, so we're just hoping that they can hurry up with a cure or some sort of treatment that will slow it down before it gets too far advanced.
But just like the football team he watches every Sunday, Alex doesn't let bad luck stop him as he faces every new challenge.
You know, the Vikings, they had a lot of things go on where they lost a lot of their good players, but they managed to come up and win, and I think that I'm just hoping that I'll be the same for Alex.
Anything that will interrupt the day's drudgery, I suppose you might say, from our side, and some of the things that he has to go through constantly and that we have to deal with for him, this certainly is a great distraction.
He brought the Vikings good luck and helped bring a win on Sunday in Tampa. Now, a special 8-year-old from Anoka is hoping for more of those Sundays and more good luck being sent his way as he faces life's challenges. The Vikings had many factors in their win on Sunday, but one they won't forget is from a young, inspirational fan who's made a lasting impact.
I said last night, right, Alex, who has muscular dystrophy from Anoka, Minnesota, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for letting me watch your practice last Saturday. It was fun. The players were nice to me and signed my Viking helmet. My grandpa said to expect good luck for you because you have used up all your bad luck already. So, one ball for Alex. And one ball for his grandpa. All right, Mike's on three. One, two, three.
Five!
That'll do it for tonight's show. Thanks for listening to this bi-week edition of Everything Purple. We'll be back next week showing you all the great content that Vikings Entertainment Network produces over the week. Remember, the Vikings are on a bye this week, so sit back, watch, and relax as the rest of the NFC North does some work. On behalf of producer Grant Ridpath, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Thanks for listening to Everything Purple. We wish you a good night and leave you on a good note.
High formation behind Teddy, third and goal from the one. Extra offensive lineman to the right. Asiata runs behind it, lowers the helmet at the two, reaches for the end zone. Touchdown! Matt Asiata has hit the trifecta. Three rushing touchdowns for the second time this season, and the Vikings lead 27-26. Let's go!